a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I know what they got going on. Yeah, I know they got to deal with us. Yeah, I know they probably getting asked the same question. So, you know, who's just gonna bring it on Sunday night? You know, I plan on having a big game. And it is what it is. I mean, it's nothing. I'm not gonna shy from it. Take it how they want to take it.
That's Texas defensive tackle Tim Settle, who has randomly become one of their chirpiest players, and has actually backed it up when he has done this before. I think he said this about Josh Jacobs, Packers running back, before that Texans-Packers game. Like, yeah, we're coming to hit him as hard as we can. And Zettel actually had a pretty good game against the Packers, all things considered. So now, hey, they're asking him, hey, are you ready for the Detroit Lions? And he's saying, I hope they're ready for us.
I like the confidence.
They're going to have to be ready for Nico Collins, those Detroit Lions, because Nico Collins was activated off of the injured reserve today. He was back at practice. He was dancing while at practice. He did not seem to be affected, his hamstring, in any way. Now, it's not about whether or not your hamstring's affected while dancing. It's about how affected it is while you're sprinting in a straight line downfield.
Yeah, I mean, I've given him some grief. I don't say because it seemed like his report was going to be very wrong. But Aaron Wilson was pretty consistent about this, that Nico Collins was fully recovered and ready to go, and that seemed wrong until all of a sudden today. So at this point now, I think we have to assume he's correct and that he's fully good to go on Sunday.
And if they have him back, that gives him a chance to win. Am I going to pick the Lions? Probably. But at the very least, I think the Texans have a chance to show up Sunday night if they have him back. Whether or not they have Will Anderson back remains to be seen, but it's definitely not looking good for Will Anderson. We'll check when the next injury report comes out for the Texans. They might even rule Anderson out if he hasn't been on the field all week long, dealing with that ankle injury that he suffered Thursday against the New York Jets. Interesting matchup of two ex-player coaches. Dan Campbell, remember when he was first hired and how everyone was laughing at this press conference? This is Dan Campbell in his introductory press conference, and watch out, world.
All right, and so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you, and when you knock us down, we're going to get up, and on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right, and we're going to stand up, and then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up, and then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality, all right? And we're going to learn that any loss that we take, we're going to make sure we feel the full pain of it and not go numb to it and learn from it.
And I think they've certainly learned from the 24-7 loss that they suffered in the NFC Championship game. I thought they would have a hard time bouncing back from that, but they have gotten back up. And they are playing a mean, violent brand of offense where they're just running people over, running by people. Jared Goff's been really efficient. And it's weird that you hear someone talking like that, you would think that that's not going to be an offensive-minded team, Joe. But, I mean, this is what they are. And their defense has been doing the job. They have been the best team in the NFL despite having one loss all year long. I know the Chiefs are undefeated, but the Lions have been a lot scarier to this point. And it is because of Dan Campbell. Even if he's maybe not the X's and O's guys, people love playing for him. They always have loved playing for him. And on a personal note, I am happy that a guy like this can prove so many people wrong who were laughing at him for a quote at a press conference like this that I thought was fun and different, but fun.
Yeah, it's just so different than anything you ever hear. So like it's hard not to chuckle.
Biting kneecaps.
At.
Biting a kneecap, yeah. That's not gonna go well for your teeth.
Yeah, like the rest of the analogy is really good about getting up and down and taking chunks out of them on the way up, but it's the biting kneecap one that we'll never forget. But right now, we should all be biting kneecaps. Dan Campbell leading the way.
I don't want to bite a kneecap.
I don't really either.
That sounds like those mewing exercises that the kids do so that they can have stronger jaw lines. People do these workouts, supposedly.
They do?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
Why?
Because supposedly it tightens your jaw if you have better muscles around your jaw and you do like chewing exercises and stuff. Supposedly it gives you a more pronounced jawline. I don't know if that's actually backed by science, but a lot of people do that. And it's called mewing.
Okay. Do you know what they do? Just like the way they chew.
I haven't really looked into it. Okay. No. Because well, I think it's BS.
I'm glad you have it. I would be more concerned if you're like, yeah, every night before I go to bed, I do my mewing exercises for 30 minutes.
I mean, I would love a stronger jawline, but I'm pretty sure that it's about the bones and it's not about the muscles in your face. But hey.
Genetics. But you're right. This is, look, he is in a fortunate position right now to where he also does have the hottest coaching candidate the last three off seasons,
right.
And Ben Johnson. Aaron Glenn's been a great coach. I mean, he also, he assembled his staff in a really different way. He went really all in with the former player approach. It wasn't just him. There are guys, like we mentioned, Mark Brunell on this staff. You have Aaron Glenn as your defensive coordinator. He brought with him guys who played in the league who will connect better with the players, and they've done a really great job. And this is the first time in my life. I've been watching the Lions play football my entire life, and they've had incredible talent like Megatron, and I don't really remember
Barry Sanders.
I don't really remember Barry Sanders, but they had Matt Stafford. But I still think of them as the team that's 0-16 and Dan Orlovsky running out the back of the end zone. Like that is like growing up watching the NFC North. Like that's who the Lions are to me. It's so strange that they're the best team in the NFC, and to me it feels like they're a shoo-in to go to the Super Bowl right now. So they've done an incredible job turning this thing around.
It certainly helps that the conference as a whole, the NFC, does not seem as competitive as the AFC. I mean, who's the second best team in the NFC right now? Is it the Vikings? Is it the Packers? Is it the Eagles?
Maybe it's Washington.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of questions about everybody. So they're certainly in a good situation. But Dan Campbell's, I think, at the center point of it. And really a question I have for you. Would you rather have Dan Campbell than D'Amico Ryans right now? I think having Dan Campbell does assume that you have Ben Johnson as well. Probably Aaron Glenn. Glenn's a local guy.
Yeah, if I get the entire staff, I'm taking Dan Campbell because I get Ben Johnson with it.
I think he has a better staff around him. That's 100%. For sure.
He hired a much better staff. I mean, Ben Johnson, he turned down jobs the last 2 years and potentially will do it again this upcoming offseason because they might be in the Super Bowl, so teams might not even be able to wait for him. So they continue to have this hot coaching candidate who stays with them. It's very unorthodox to what we've seen. So,
it's pretty crazy that he stayed. Yeah. I get it. He probably didn't like the options available. But, I mean, he said pretty early on, no, I'm focused on the Lions and our return to the Super Bowl or first appearance in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're one of four teams with the Texans who have never gone to a Super Bowl. Oof. The Browns, the Jags, the Lions, the Texans. And I think the Lions are going to be the one of the four teams that breaks it. The Texans will be part of the final three teams in the NFL to have never gone to the Super Bowl.
At least they kind of have an excuse.
100%. Cleveland has no excuse. Anyway, I know they're not the same franchise as they were technically before as Baltimore.
Well, no, I mean, they blew it. They blew it a couple times in the 80s. Ernest Biner.
That's true.
John Elway is the reason they didn't make it.
But yeah, right now, if I got the whole staff, I would lean Dan Campbell. If I only get the coach, I'm going to stick with D'Amico Ryans just because I want to see what it looks like for Goff. Like, it was a little bumpy without McVay. Like, what does it look like without Ben Johnson? What does it look like without Aaron Glenn? And, at least D'Amico calls the defense, or Dan Campbell doesn't do any of that. So I still really like D'Amico as a head coach. So
I like him as a head coach, too. However, this week, not feeling so hot about it.
Yes, that I agree.
The rabbit ears vibes that have come out after he was talking about how people are in an uproar about them not doing anything at the trade deadline and reacting to this idea that they're not that impressive of a team. I don't like hearing that from my head coach. He is newer to this than Dan Campbell is, because Campbell also had the interim term with the Miami Dolphins way back in the day, too.
I forgot about that.
I mean, that interim term with the Dolphins, he was such a meathead. A lot of people were like, this is ridiculous.
But he's still the meathead.
Yeah, it's funny. He's the exact same guy he was before.
But D'Amico and Dan Campbell are, I think, the reason why we saw Antonio Pierce get this job in Vegas. I think we are heading in a direction where, like in the NBA, you've got, Steve Kerr, J.J. Redick, Jason Kidd, Doc Rivers, like all these guys who played in the league all over the place. I think we're going to start seeing the same kind of trend happening in the NFL where you're going to start seeing former players become coaches because they actually connect. Like, people give Mike McDaniels a lot of grief, but sometimes I do think it's fair to be like, what do you think his players think, like, when they see this little nerd standing in front of them?
I would have said that about Brandon Staley with the, with the Chargers.
Yeah, I think really what Campbell kind of, like, represents is, like, just a different way of hiring head coaches where, like, and rightfully so, Ben Johnson seems like a great coach, but everyone who has an opening this offseason, their entire fan base is like, we need to get Ben Johnson. We need to get the other great offensive coordinator, and to where it's like, you know, the joke years ago is like, did you have a cup of coffee with Sean McVay? Congrats, you're now the coach of the Bengals. Like that's just what happens. And I think what Dan Campbell proves is that, hey, you don't need to just get like the third best or the fourth best offensive coordinator of the hiring cycle. Like, you get a guy who is just going to be a head coach,
right,
who can do all the head coach stuff of building kind of a culture around the team and building like a foundation and a mentality that everyone on your team has. And sure, they're not all going to be as successful as Dan Campbell at doing that, because, I mean, he really did it immediately. Like, they didn't win any games, but you could see that they were playing hard and they got better towards the end of that first year that he was in Detroit. And I think that's what it is that, hey, you don't need to just hire McVay Shanahan guys or the guy with the hot new defensive scheme, like the former Ravens defense coordinator now in Seattle, McDonald. Yeah. You don't need to sign, or you don't need to hire these guys for their, you know, scheme acumen. Like, there's more to coaching than just what you can draw up on a chalkboard.
For sure, there's also no one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah.
I mean, you should hire the person you like, and you should not base who you like off of the trends. And I think that's the unfortunate thing now, is that this could go in such a direction where, I mean, Antonio Pierce, does he look like he belongs? No.
No.
Does Gerard Mayo look like he belongs?
Nope.
No. So it's something just to keep in mind. It is funny. A couple of guys are successful. Oh, we got to do it this way. No, you have to find the guy that you believe in
the
most.
NFL.
But there's a lot of Adam Gases. There's a lot of the offensive coordinators that failed too. Like, I what this boils down to is like, hey, hiring a coach, like, chances are you're going to fire him in 3 years, like, no matter who you hire. Like, overwhelmingly, it is not successful, successful propositions. But I think this is at least a new way to think about it, is to think about it not just, are you an offensive coordinator for Kyle Shanahan?
Dan Campbell is the 11th longest tenured coach in the NFL right now.
11th?
11th.
Wow, that's pretty strong.
And what,
because
like
of the turnover.
Year 4?
And he's in year 4. He's number 11 on this
list.
That's
crazy.
Because of how many coaches get fired, and like, he'll be top 10 maybe, because guys like Mike McCarthy are in front of him on this list.
Glad you brought up Mike McCarthy. Why is the Mike McCarthy of coaches that no one criticizes, Tony Dungy, why is he at Texans practice this week? Why is that?
Well,
can I share with the class what I think about Tony Dungy? Tony Dungy is one of the most overrated coaches ever, and somehow he has a job as an analyst, and he says nothing. Really, he says nothing. He says less than Jason Garrett. Except for every now and then he waxes poetically and he sounds like a pastor while he's doing it. Hey, Tony, remember when you couldn't do anything with one of the greatest defenses of all time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then John Gruden takes over and wins with your team in 1 year? Hey, Tony Dungy, remember when your Colts didn't show up in the AFC Championship game for 2003-2004? And then you had your general manager whine to the rules committee to get the 5-yard contact enforced, only to score 3 points the next time that you played against the same team, the New England Patriots, in the playoffs. And then remember when you played the Pittsburgh Steelers, quarterbacked by a not good at all Ben Roethlisberger in 2005, and you blew that game. And then remember that the only reason that you won the Super Bowl in that 2006 season, the only Super Bowl he ever has, even though he's praised as one of the best coaches ever, is because the Patriots blew a 21-3 lead and the Chargers fumbled away a game where they would have easily beaten the Colts because they always owned them. Remember that?
And who did they beat?
They played the Bears, so it doesn't even count as a Super Bowl win.
Rex Grossman.
Thank you, Joe.
Rex Grossman.
Thank you. Tony Dungy is put on this pedestal. I don't get it.
Like, I don't know.
Everyone
either.
Yesterday was like, oh, C.J. Stroud getting some great advice from Tony Dungy. What's the advice? Like, here's how to say nothing on TV. Here's how to thank God more often than you already do.
That's the one.
I mean, why is this guy at, like, some moral authority? I that's what I don't get. Like, remember what he said, like, a year ago? It doesn't seem very Christian what he said a year ago about certain folks of a certain sexuality. That's not even what this is all about, because a lot of people are probably like, oh, Paul, you're just saying this because you're gay and you don't like it. People talk about that. No, it has nothing to do with that. It is all about, like, Tony Dungy, for whatever reason, we act like this guy's so great, and he has one Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy has one Super Bowl, too. Why are we putting him up on a pedestal, and why is it a big deal that he's at practice yesterday? Please spare me.
I'm with you. I think they put Tony Dungy in that category of, they try to, like, elevate him into, like, Bill Cowher. And like,
well, Bill Cowher, same thing. I mean, look, these are good coaches. Bill has more success. These are good. Well, he has one Super Bowl too. These are good coaches. Don't get me wrong, but it's, come on.
Yeah.
Can we start like Dungy? Oh, thank God Tony Dungy's around. Like, he won a Super Bowl. Sorry. I don't look at Tony Dungy as this incredibly good coach. He had one of the best quarterbacks ever with him, and he won one Super Bowl, and he had one of the best defenses ever. And as soon as he leaves, the team that he was there with wins the Super Bowl. So I'm only saying this because I was annoyed by the amount of people that were like, oh, wow, Tony Dungy, he's giving CJ Stroud some advice. Well, what advice is he giving him? Hey, don't underachieve like I did.
I mean, you know, C.J. Stroud, he likes to give advice, so sometimes he's got to take it, too.
Is Tony Dungy big broing C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I'd rather Jared Goff give C.J. Stroud advice after Sunday Night Football than have Tony Dungy give him advice. There's
a chance you see that.
There might be a chance you see that.
Hey, stop taking those hits.
I bet Stroud will not listen to Jared Goff giving him advice, though.
Probably not.
I don't think he would. I think he'd listen to Matt Stafford.
I think he'll be more... he'll pretend better than Caleb Williams did. Mm-hmm. No offense, Joe. But I think I think CJ Stroud's better at pretending that you're like, yeah, no, I don't actively hate this. Mm-hmm. CJ or Caleb kind of wears it on his face.
He wears a lot on his face. But
and a lot
well, more on his nails.
I don't know these days. It's pretty close.
You owe me a soda, Sean. Well, is he still wearing it?
He still paints his nails.
Still paints his nails.
Yeah. He just looks dreadful all the time. But CJ Stroud. You
know, dreadful all the time.
A lot of times.
I don't know, Joe. You said he was the guy a couple weeks ago. No.
I still think he can be the guy.
He can be the guy.
Well, they gotta not kill him first.
Future tense. He can be the guy.
Okay. Yeah. He ain't right now.
I mean, I think Drake May's the guy, and he's getting killed back there.
I mean, I think Caleb's the guy.
You think CJ Stroud's the guy?
Definitely he's the guy. I mean, no question.
Well, what if he gets killed? Same logic. Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud, what's the difference?
One
took advice from the other, that's for sure. Yeah. Unsolicited
One's
advice.
One's big bro.
That's true. One got advice in that game, one did not.
Thank you for letting me get on my soapbox about Tony
Dungy. It's okay. I'm with you on Tony Dungy. There are a lot of coaches in sports
He was a very good coach, but like, why is he better than everybody else? I've never looked at him that way. I think it's something
about like the mid-2000s. Like a lot of the coaches that were like in that era, I feel like we just like glorify for some reason in a way. Until the Cowboys stuff, I still felt like people put McCarthy on a pedestal he didn't belong on. Tony Dungy, I would put Herm Edwards in that category. Like a lot of the guys who made the early transition to television, Bill Cowher, seemed to just be elevated in a different way. Hell, John Gruden.
That's a fair point. That's a fair
point. It's just like this whole like era of like the late 90s, early 2000s, they all jumped to ESPN when like ESPN was at its biggest, most important deal, or NBC. And we kind of elevate all of them for a reason that I don't quite understand.
At least though, here's the thing. At least Gruden, always entertaining, even if he was two-faced. And he was. He was two-faced behind the scenes. I was in Tampa Bay when he was there. I remember hearing the reports about it all the time. Listening on Sports Talk Radio, WDAE up there. WDAE, you got to stop firing people. That wasn't cool. And same thing with Cowher, too. Cowher, there was a personality there. It was a bit of an angry guy. Dungy, weirdly, he's been put on this pedestal. He's always been rather boring when he speaks. And again, nothing wrong with that if you're a good coach. And he is a good coach. But then all of a sudden, he became this moral authority outside of football. And I'm like, how?
That's what it is where, and that was like after he became the NBC desk guy.
I'm gonna talk to Michael Vick and tell him, hey, stop killing dogs.
Where he was like the only reason why Vick got back in the league.
He was like the PR, like I don't know.
It's so bizarre.
He was the cleaner in Pulp Fiction. It like was he was the fixer.
Give Michael Vick another chance. That's the only reason why he got it was because of Dungy.
Yeah.
I say all of that because he was at Texas practice
and
this week.
Probably because they play on NBC and he works on NBC.
That's it. But everyone's like, oh, so the guy who's paid to cover this game and who will say nothing about it. Oh, thank God he's talking to CJ Stroud before the game. Literally, thank God. Point upstairs. Thank you that St. Tony has come down here to talk to CJ Stroud about the divine path to also disappointing a lot of fans like I did in Tampa Bay and in Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, I didn't see any tweets that Jason Garrett and Jack Collinsworth were also.
No, I didn't. I don't know
if they were or not. But
thank goodness Jason Garrett was here, not here.
Garrett would have gotten crushed. And I mean, look, Garrett wasn't a good coach for sure.
He's worse on TV. He's terrible.
I think that's where
at least
a lot
he smiles
of
the, awkwardly.
I think that's where a lot like we can forgive some
speaks
like
with diction.
We can forgive some probably a little bit of a disappointing head coach if you're just like good on TV, like Gruden, like Rex Ryan, even to a certain set Bill Cowher. Like Bill Cowher's not like, oh my God, everyone be quiet, Bill Cowher's talking. Mm-hmm. But he is like good on TV. Where Tony Dungy, Jason Garrett, like those guys are just on a different level of bad.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
That's okay.
I saw that yesterday and I was like, I'm not going to, if I tweet about this online, it's not even going to get any reaction. And the only people that will respond are like, what are you saying? I'm like, I'm saying he's overrated. That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's it. St. Tony Dungy.
Yeah. No one's talking to Jim Caldwell.
Exactly. Guess Jim Caldwell almost won a Super Bowl with those same Colts teams.
Where's he at these days? He's still in the NFL?
I don't know. Probably a consultant somewhere.
That man could cosplay as a statue because I don't think I've ever seen his mouth open.
Speaking of lions, do you guys know there's a new Mufasa Lion King movie coming out?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for
it. As I'm looking on Twitter, I just literally...
Yeah,
like,
I saw a trailer for
a new poster for it.
I saw it. It's like Scar... It's before Scar got abused and became what he was.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Coug Blaze, I'd rather get my analysis from Bill O'Brien than Tony Dungy. Honestly, I would too.
Bill O'Brien was pretty good on...
Bill O'Brien's good on TV.
On Edelman's podcast.
Bill O'Brien's good.
I was going to say, if he wants to keep coaching, please coach as long as you want.
Yeah.
I would also not be upset at him either full-time podcaster or on a TV show.
He's Joe. Sean behind the glass. I'm Paul. Galata George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, let's talk about what happened in Thursday Night Football. Is Lamar Jackson the MVP? And Deshaun Watson, that trade is now... being second guessed to the people who made said trade. They are being asked questions. Surely they will show some grace and self-awareness, right? Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Thursday Night Football was fun. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens won yet again. 35-34 over the Cincinnati Bengals. Both of those games very entertaining this year. First game between these two went to overtime. I think the Ravens won 41-38. Unfortunately, the Ravens, they win both of them for Cincinnati. Cincinnati now falls to 4-6. Looking like it's going to be very tough for them to make the playoffs. Seven teams make it, so they have a chance, but they're going to have to go on, it seems like, a winning streak of sorts. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, simply incredible last night. Who was better, Lamar Jackson or Ja'Marr Chase?
Oh, Lamar or Ja'Marr. I'm going to take Chase. He was so good last night.
Chase has set a record this year for receiving yards against one team, the Ravens, nearly 500.
I was going to say, it's like 500.
Gosh. It's nearly in two games. Yeah, you would think the Ravens would do something different.
Cover that guy?
I heard Richard Sherman venting about it after the game. Bill Belichick used to at least make one guy not beat you, and yet the Ravens had no answer for it. I will say, theoretical Texans... Ravens rematch. Those games did not go well for the Texans last year. If Nico Collins is healthy, you feel okay about their chances to throw on this team?
Mm-hmm.
Their secondary, not very good, though. Their pass rush was pretty good. They did give Joe Burrow a lot of trouble last night.
Trey Hendrickson, their star pass rusher, he has 11 sacks on the season. Since they're getting great. One guy on defense is awesome.
They've had some incredible performances this year, and yet they are 4-6 in the AFC North. I mean, at least they're not the Browns.
I think they're going to make the playoffs, though.
You think so?
I didn't. What's in front of them is what? It's the Chargers. It's the Colts. Our internet's terrible. There's one other team.
Steelers?
Steelers are 6-2. So, but like for that final spot AFC.
Their next two games are against the Chargers and Steelers.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking at.
Well,
I mean, they're 4-6 right now, and then the
9 seed in the AFC if the season were to end today. So if we're directly in front of them, the Colts and the Broncos.
Yes. And they can pass those teams.
They do not have a hard schedule looking ahead. They have Chargers, Steelers, Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, Steelers.
What pisses me off about them is that if they didn't F around in the first couple of games of the year, like they do every single season, this would not be an issue. But it feels like this is every year. They're incredible procrastinators. They procrastinate, and then when they show up, they're great. But a game like last night and a game like the first one between these teams, you know, that would be understandable if you're not losing the first game of the year to the Patriots.
Now, yes. But I think they're going to make the playoffs.
And
but there's a big but here.
What? Derrick Henry?
Have four wins this season, the Bengals do. And those teams have a combined 8 wins on the season.
Yep, Panthers, Giants, Browns, Raiders.
So like they've lost to the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Ravens, and then the Patriots. They've lost to every good team they've played this season,
and the Patriots,
and lost and only beaten some of the worst teams in the NFL.
By the way, combined scores of their losses against the Chiefs, 1, Commanders, 5, and the Ravens, 2 times, 4, like 9 points.
Yeah.
For 4
losses. I thought you were going to do the combined scores of the Bengals-Ravens games, and I was like, oh my god, this is big 12 hours over here.
Those games have been fun.
And crossing 70.
I did tell you to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975 to take the over in that game. It did not look good for the first 3 quarters.
Oh, but boy, did it look good.
Fourth quarter was great.
Towards the end.
Turn it on.
I think the over-under was 49 for that game. They definitely went well over that.
20 points up.
You mentioned fantasy football, like anyone that played Ja'Marr Chase this week. I got a buddy who's playing Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. You don't have to watch football on Sunday.
Enjoy your weekend.
One of my friends, who was asking me about Nico Collins' status today before it was announced that Nico Collins is healthy. By the way, Nico Collins off the IR. We'll see if he plays on Sunday. Seems like he will, though, because he was practicing. He was asking me, hey, what's Nico Collins' status? And then he showed me his team. And I was like, you just wanted to show me you had Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. Shut up. Like,
and Nico Collins?
Right. Wow. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you have Nico Collins too? Like, piss off. Good yeah. Team. First team in his league. First place in his league. Deshaun Watson. Andrew Berry finally facing the music. The general manager of the Cleveland Browns, I guess for his mid-State of the Union address post-trade deadline, was asked if he had any regrets about the trade. Here's what he had to say.
I'm really not in reflection mode. I think that's probably, I remember I got asked this about, Dobbs last year. It's really more not really my focus at this point in the year. Our focus is really on finishing out the 2024 season, having the team play at a higher level, and then kind of we'll get to like those maybe longer term or big picture reflections at a later point in time.
So ridiculous.
He also said, apparently, that he stands with Kevin Stefanski's decision.
Yeah.
So he just pointed the finger right at Kevin Stefanski.
He did.
And say, he's the reason why Deshaun Watson was still the quarterback and not Jameis Winston earlier.
I'm the reason he's here. And Jimmy Haslam's the reason that we're both still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Haslam, nothing to do with it. Jimmy Haslam just, he saw it. Wrote his name on it, on the contract.
Jimmy Haslam has never done anything wrong in his life.
No.
Including that one thing. Don't ever ask about it. But he didn't do anything, okay? Christian McCaffrey should make his debut on Sunday. So congratulations to everyone who drafted him in their fantasy league first overall. He's finally back.
They also need him if they're going to make the playoffs. They've got so many injuries this season. But
on Sunday, they are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that is a do-or-die game. For both those teams.
Mm-hmm.
More around the NFL in the 10-minute drill. Trevor Lawrence is probably out on Sunday. He may need shoulder surgery on his left shoulder, not his right shoulder. That means it is Mac Jones time in Jacksonville, Florida. You love to see it.
Do we get a revenge game this year, by chance? Do we get Mac Jones versus Drake May?
No, that already happens. Right. Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no, it doesn't.
What's even the point?
I'm glad it didn't happen. That would have sucked to have the better quarterback and still lose because they would have lost to the Jaguars. They lost to the Jaguars that other game, too.
Yeah, Mike. I can't believe it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, this whole season's been bizarre. I know he's not taken the steps we thought, at least I thought he was going to take at some point in his career, but Doug Peterson being asked about how great he played like last week, and then all he would do is compliment everyone else besides Trevor Lawrence. They clearly do not like each other. If I was Trevor Lawrence, I'm just telling the organization, I'm having surgery, even if it's minor, and I'm out for the season, and I'll see you next year with a new coach.
I could 100% see him getting shelved. There is, I hate to do this because I think in every single team, you should be playing to win every single game. I hate the tanking stuff that's just so open these days. But at the same time, how does it benefit the Jaguars to have Trevor Lawrence play at all for the rest of this year, you know? And same thing for Trevor Lawrence. How does it benefit him?
Yeah, especially, like, you know, the coach is getting fired.
You would think so, right? I mean, like, if you're Trevor Lawrence, would you want to get back out there with that coach back next year? And, I mean, shoot, they seemed like they were quitting before that Texans-Jaguars game a few weeks ago. I remember John Harris talking about it on the sideline report as part of the Texans' flagship broadcast, how none of them looked like they wanted to be there. And then the Texans, they have the muff punt early on, and all of a sudden the Jaguars get a little bit of life. But they want to go to Cancun so bad.
Can they afford to go there? I'm sure they can.
What, the Jaguars?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who make good money on that
team. Oh, look, you see the stadium they're about to build? Like, they have money there.
That's
they,
true.
They sneaky have money. It's kind of, they just, there's no interest really there because it's a SEC area more than it is an NFL area. And they're really bad at scouting. Take, remember the time where they drafted a guy whose name I can't remember from the Florida Gators when they had the 28th overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft instead of Lamar Jackson. Could have had him.
They could have had him.
I tweeted out his name last night. I've already forgotten it, and he played for my Florida Gators. And I remember thinking to myself while on the Texans radio ship, radio flagship broadcast of the NFL draft, we were all thinking when the Jaguars were on the clock at 28 with Lamar Jackson on the board, oh, my God, they're going to take him. This sucks. This is terrible.
Tavin Bryan.
Tavin Bryan.
Oh, yeah, defensive tackle.
Yep. No idea who that guy is.
Yeah,
I don't remember him.
I doubt he's in the league.
That entire second half of that that first round, watching with my friends, like every single time – Gridel would walk to the podium and be like, Lamar Jackson. Like, they're picking Lamar Jackson. And it was like, they didn't.
And the Ravens traded back three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the third
pick. They just kept moving back because they were like, well, no one wants him to play quarterback, so we're just going to wait for him.
Yeah.
I was hoping the Patriots would take him. That was defending Super Bowl champion Patriots.
Wow. That would have been insane.
It would have been, but at the time, it seemed like Brady was on the way out. Like,
instead, they took Sony Michel.
There's still time.
I mean, he did win them the Super Bowl that year.
That's true. So then, you know what? Right.
That was after they lost to Nick Foles in the Super Bowl. My bad. By the way, there's a Germany football game, and it is Giants-Panthers.
Hey, let's grow the game.
And those ex-Nazis deserve that game, just like England, oppressive bastards for over a millennium, just like they deserve Jets owner Woody Johnson as the American ambassador, because that might happen again.
Bryce Young, here we go.
Even after he was embarrassed so much that he had to fire his coach?
Yes.
Remember, that was I don't know if it was the actual story, but it was a couple weeks later. People were like, well, remember, he got embarrassed in front of the country that he used to be the ambassador for. So that's why he had to fire Robert Saleh.
You know what?
Totally not because his quarterback told him to.
It's kind of plausible.
It's plausible. It's still not good. It's still not like what you want from your owner.
Firing Robert Saleh conspiracy theories. I mean, there's the Lebanon flag and there's that. I didn't know there was that one.
Oh, you didn't know that one?
No, I didn't hear it. Yeah, but I can't wait. I can't wait for Woody Johnson to go back there and for Jets fans to think that, oh, no way that the other family member blows this up. And by the way, he did a horrible job. He drafted Zach Wilson.
I was going to say, they're so successful, 2016 to 2020. Mm-hmm. So.
See, this is where, like, it's good for some teams that they don't do this. Because you benefit from the Jets being a disaster, specifically people like you, Paul.
I benefit from it because it's fun.
But we can't like force these guys to sell. Like, hey, man, here's a couple billion, but you are ruining this league. Like, you got to go. Like, it should be a timetable. Like, it's like once you haven't made the playoffs for 10 years, force to sell the team.
Oh, I've brought this up before. I think it would be, you know, if the NFL is looking for content, how about in the offseason, one of the months where nothing's going on, so maybe June? You have a reality TV show, and the NFL owners have to vote somebody out. I mean, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
They all make, like, Shark Tank pitches of why they should stay.
Yeah. I mean, they'd never do that because it would embarrass them, but I've said this for a couple of years. I think this would be much must-watch content. It would ensure that owners are actually competitive, and it would continue to grow the game because every single time a franchise sells for a set amount of money, you know what happens?
Everyone gets a lot of money.
Everyone gets a lot of money, and the prices of all their teams go up. So, I mean, and you're making a television event. People hate rich people. People love seeing rich people get pantsed. The only person that loses is the person that has to sell their team, and I mean, they're still making money in return.
Yeah, but I mean, we might lose because then we would lose Cal and Hannah potentially.
No.
They'll never be on that council. There's certain owners who would never be on it. Like Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft somehow would find a way around it.
I was going to say, I can imagine Jerry Jones having to make his pitch. And he's like, come on, guys. Do you really want me as your enemy? And everyone's like, oh, we really do not want him as our enemy.
But if they got him out, they got him out. Like, see, it would be fun. Anyway, I don't think they'll ever do it, but that's something I've always wanted to see
that's
happen.
Good.
Gallant and George. Sean Mabes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And you can join us on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston. There is actually a huge game for a Houston sports team tonight. How are you feeling about this one? We'll talk about it. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Big news today for the Texans before their game Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Nico Collins activated off of the injured reserve. It does look like he will be playing on Sunday because he's dancing. So the Texans looking like they're going to have a whole lot of fun on Sunday. We'll talk about more of that in the 2 o'clock hour. I did want to touch on this because the Rockets actually have a very big game tonight. They will be playing the 7-1 Oklahoma City Thunder, considered by many to be the best team in the Western Conference, even though they didn't go that far last year, in OKC. You heard, I believe yesterday, looking ahead to this game from both Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green. Is this a measuring stick kind of game?
Not really. We played good teams last year, this year. You know, it's, you guys need a story to write, sure. But other than that, like, it's another game. We know the challenge that they bring. And we know the type of team that we are. So just, we're on our own grind and, you know, kind of on our own road. And we just got to walk that road and keep chipping away.
I mean, if you want to say that, I think we're running our own race. I think I heard Fred say that. I don't know if that was the same question. But, yeah, we run our own race. We're in our own lane. We focus on what we got right here.
We run our own lace. We're in our own lane. Wait, run our own race. Not lace. That's lingerie.
I get why. I get what they're saying.
Just paints his nails. What?
I get what they're saying. I get why they're taking that approach.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely lying to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big game.
It's a huge game.
And you have a lot to prove, because while you're 5-3 and have played good basketball this season, you know, Vegas, I think, always does, you know, help give a barometer of where teams are at. And right now, they say the Oklahoma City Thunder are 8.5-point favorites in this game. I mean, they're expecting the Thunder to win by nearly double-digit points in this game tonight. So this is a measuring stick game. This game does matter. And it's definitely the game so far this season I'm most excited about.
I think what's interesting about them, I mean, last year the Rockets, they lost their first three games and then they won six in a row. So they were basically at the same spot that they're at right now, where they are 5-3. And there's a lot of, I think, positive feelings about this team. Yeah, two of their wins did come against a San Antonio team that does not look very good to this point. And, of course, is dealing with other issues with Greg Popovich on an indefinite leave with heart issues, right?
They don't know. They haven't publicly said.
Okay, they haven't said publicly, but yeah. It does sound like he's going to be away from the team for a while. But whatever the case, they're off to a start where I can understand why the people who want to see them finally, you know, like be the Rockets of old are saying, hey, they're as close as they've ever been. And, I mean, there's so much depth, and they're sending Cam Whitmore down to the G League. But I'm fascinated by this game tonight because I disagree with them, as you do too. It's a measuring stick game. And if they play well in this game, I think that there will be actually some attention paid to them as the football season wraps up.
Yeah. I mean, this is where, like, the Rockets are all the hype we had for the Texans this year. There wasn't that same hype with the Rockets because they haven't accomplished anything in terms of going to the playoffs. But they have the young talent to where there's still a lot to really buy in and believe in. And so a night like tonight, when there's, you know, no conflict of besides just hanging at home, like the Rockets are, this is a good game. This would be a good win game for them to get.
Yeah. Fight some people.
What do you think about the Cam Whitmore move?
I was surprised by that. I get it. I mean, if he's not even playing, you may as well put him somewhere where he can get on the court. But I there's a part of me that wonders if that pisses him off, because he does seem to take things personally. I have no problem with that, but I mean, you're putting him down in the G League. I'd be pissed off if I were getting sent down to the G League when I think I'm probably more talented than some of the players on the roster that are getting minutes.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't you think you're better than nothing against Reed Sheppard? If you're Cam Whitmore, don't you think you're better than Reed Sheppard right now?
I mean, you probably feel that way, but the dude's shooting 5% from three.
Oof.
He's shooting 5.6.
So I didn't know it was that
basically
bad.
6%.
Holy crap, that's terrible.
So, like, yeah, you can feel like you're better than him, but yeah, he's 1 for 18 from 3-point line. He's shooting 40% or 39% from the field. So, and he's playing, what, 10 minutes a game?
Mm-hmm.
Go down to the G League. Just have some fun. Try to find your shot again, get in rhythm, that kind of thing. And then we'll see. I mean,
man, 1 for 18. Good God.
At some point in the season, you know, someone's going to get hurt. He'll be back in the rotation then. But yeah, for right now, if you're just going to be playing 10 minutes a game and missing all your shots, you can try to figure some stuff out in the minors.
Yeah, that's where like the core seven whole, you know, stuff and then plus Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams and, you know, these guys, Jacques Landale, like they're not all gonna play. So I think we all probably would have, like, if we had to guess, it would have been Sheppard at some point would have been the guy to go down, but Cam Whitmore clearly is just like really he's sophomore slumping in a big way. It makes sense.
Yeah, and some of it might just be, hey, you know, he's only playing 10 minutes a game. He's not in rhythm when he comes in. Like, it is a change for him, although he was still coming off the bench last year. But he was at least, when he was coming off the bench, he was in the rotation more frequently because of the injuries that were happening. So, yeah, it could just be first day games, new role, kind of slumping and trying to shoot your way out of it in the G League. And for right now, yeah, like, chances are Aaron Holiday is going to be a better player for the Rockets going forward, or more Reed Sheppard minutes.
The Rockets have definitely come back to earth, by the way, when it comes to three-point shooting. Now, first off, in three-point attempts total, I just took a look. Celtics are taking 51 attempts a game.
More than half their shots are three-point.
That is insane. And, I mean, they're hitting it at a 37% clip, so that does work. The Rockets are shooting 37.9 threes a game, but their percentage is close to the bottom of the league, if I'm doing my math right.
They are
25th in the league in three-point percentage.
At 32?
Right? Mm-hmm. 32.7% from outside.
Yeah.
Well, what it's worth, I mean, it hasn't hurt them the last couple of games. They're shooting less of them, and they're making less of them.
And they're off, like, their total, like, offensive rating, they're top 10 in the league in offense.
But that's surprising.
You have Şengün.
Because they get a lot of their own misses.
Yes. You have Şengün, you have Jalen Green, you have Amen Thompson. Like, those are guys who can attack. Attack the paint.
And then get their own rebounds when they miss.
Yeah, yes. Even Jalen Green is shooting, because he's the guy that we're talking about. Like, are we buying his three-point numbers?
He's the leading three-point shooter. I think it's 38%.
Yeah, he's 38% from three. And if anything, it's his two-point field goal. He's 41% from two-point range.
That's not great.
Yeah, that's just something where
he's trying to dunk over Wemby. That's what happens.
Yeah, that was one of the misses. Yeah.
I still like the effort.
Yeah.
I do too, but, you know.
That's something
know
where...
your limits.
No, get the poster.
Get it? No.
Next time you play
it,
go get it.
Gen
go,
Z Joe get here. That.
No.
The picture of the highlight will live forever.
Yeah. We'll have to get one of those in the studio if he gets Wemby on a poster.
The day he retires, they're going to play that play that dunk.
Is there a way to get the picture of that before Wemby stops it and make it seem like you did do it?
I'll have to look through Getty
images. No one will know 20 years from now. That's what you got to do. That's the sneaky way.
That's the 2024 deepfake way of doing this.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, the big game for the Rockets tonight at 7 o'clock in OKC. That's something worth watching tonight. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass on Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. The fun is back, baby. Also, a question for you. Who would you rather have, CJ Stroud or Jared Goff, right now? Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.